2 Timothy chapter 4. We're studying that in verse 4. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. And it's the idea is they purposely turn away because they do not want the truth. And then we went on down to hear remember the word truth is aletheia in Greek and emeth in Hebrew. And at the core, it means that which does not change or is not subject to time. And everything in time and space, by definition, is subject to time. So the idea of truth can't be heard when there's a cell phone.
The truth part is comes from the itching ears. They got itching ears, but apparently truth doesn't scratch your ears or something.
That's true. It does not satisfy. Truth never satisfies what you want.
Yeah, because of two dimensions. If you're looking for truth in the world,
can't happen.
You can't find it.
That's the whole story of the faith of Abraham. Now, where we got turned around yesterday in terms of it says they shall be turned unto fables. And turned is ectrepo. It means this. It's a word that you would use if a joint, like an elbow or shoulder, was out of joint. And so we started looking at that, and we looked in 2 Kings, and we looked in Jeremiah 2. Now let's go to Ephesians 4. And what we talked about were the myths that we all have. And sometimes we call those myths idolatry, but in this context, they are myths. And we started to, I meant to give everybody homework, and I forgot to, about what myth do you believe in?
Oh, that's where, yeah, all started.
Right. That's why we're getting to that point. So,
the light.
What myths? Everybody has a whole array of myths that they have learned that aren't true. We talked about the two biggest ones are the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. Well, that's a myth, that God loves every human being. Well, that's a myth. The love of God is centered in the Son, in Christ. The idea of any system that you grow up in, the free enterprise system is the best, or democracy is the best, or if you grew up in Islam, Islam is the best. Those are all myths, because they all have to do only with time and space.
Work hard and you'll be successful.
Yeah, work hard and you'll be successful is a myth. The thing that I talked to yesterday a little bit about, the myth that controlled me, was from reading Ayn Rand's works of The Fountainhead and Atlas Shrugged, and the myth of radical capitalism, that it will the rising water will lift all the boats. Well, yeah, but there's a whole lot of boats that will be sunk. And so the myth of the goodness of man. I mean, all these things are myths, and yet each one of us has thousands of them that we turn aside. They put us out of joint from the standpoint of the truth. But
it's interesting because in the world system, there are nothing but myths.
That's right.
That's what controls it because there's no spirit. And people try and combine the God with that world system and get it right.
They're turned onto fables. They're turned away from the truth of God unto fables.
Keep your mouth shut and you'll stay out of trouble.
Yeah, how's that worked out for Jeff?
Turns out that doesn't work.
Well, the other one, you can never be too thin or you can never be too rich. How's that worked out?
You can never be too what?
Yeah. Never be too thin, never be too rich.
I never heard either one of those, but you obviously did. Why? Well, anyway, did this spark anybody's myths? Anybody think of any? That Gary works hard. That's a myth.
He just drives around his truck all day.
I know. He loves to visit.
It's hard work.
Well, I mean, anybody? Did it spark anybody? When I took John to the airport, he remembered a whole raft of myths that he didn't talk about when he was here. Mainly because I challenged him, but I mean, it's. Remember, this book, this Bible, is about. It's not a moral book or a how-to book or a science book or a history book. It's a book about two environments, either eternity or time and space. As long as you're centered in time and space, then you have nothing but myths, and you turn aside from the truth, in favor of the myths internally.
I used to have a lot of love myths. Where I thought I could. I was very observant, and I watched and observed all those love relationships. And then I thought I understood and could advise and counsel people. Every bit of advice I gave was wrong. It was just like.
Well, do you remember the role? Yeah, I mean, I remember your romantic myths.
Yeah, I delved in those quite a bit.
Huh?
I delved in those quite a bit. That'll drive you inward.
That's why.
The only place you can make them work is in your mind.
That's right. You have sweet thoughts.
Those are sweet.
All right, go to Ephesians 4.
Just as a comment, the thing I saw a minute ago about the world, having nothing but mist, it just that clears up everything up for me. I guess I knew that on some level, but to say it and to hear it, you know, that is all the world is about. There's no spirit there.
Well, it's not just the spirit. I mean, everybody says they got the spirit or they're worshiping the idea of Christ, but it's not Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It's not the Word made flesh. Let's go to John 14:20. It'll clear up a whole lot of myths. We're going to leave Ephesians. Sure.
If only I had this or achieved that, then this desired result would happen.
Right. And we serve those myths with all of our heart, soul, and mind.
And they are all
time dependent. And
well, but they're all in opposition to thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Love is a verb. Give breath only, give importance only to Him with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And in doing so, the fruit of that is you will love your neighbor as yourself. But anything else you give breath to, whether it's family or children or wives or husbands or or ideas, then that is in direct opposition to you loving the Lord with all your heart and your soul, because you can't love two things at once. And so you're twisted, you're turned aside onto fables. And it happens daily. Now, the work is finished, but the renewing of your mind is in constant battle. Now, let's look at one verse, and it's the only verse that I know of in the Bible that has these three positions in it. Now, listen carefully. John 14. In verse 20, at that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Well, that's the entirety of the gospel. It's because it's all about the relationship that has nothing really to do with you unless you are in Him. Now, it's location of sphere. Remember this. That's the mystery of the Greek language. When they're talking about this, it's location of sphere. And the only location where Christ is He's in the Father, and the Father is in Him, and we are in Him, and He is in us. The only place that occurs is on the mercy seat, out of time. And anything other than that is an enemy. And in fact, the Bible calls anything other than that evil. Now, unless you know that you know that you know that He's in you. But if He's in you, then you must also be in Him. Everybody can testify, oh, Christ is in me. That's easy. I've got the Spirit of Christ in me, and He's guiding blah, blah, blah. You can go to Unitarian Church or the Unity Church or even some parts of Islam or Hindu that say that. But it's not lived. It's only a philosophy. We're back to there's only two, everything is a theology, and there are only two theologies. The theology of the cross, which produces this one verse. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Everything else is a theology of glory. And everything else is crap.
It's interesting because no other religion has the death feature.
Of course not.
And that makes Christianity completely unique and functional.
Well, it's the only religion that requires your death.
Yeah. Yeah, I was looking at this verse right above it where it says, because
kind of funny way to put it,
I live, yeah. you live also.
Amen.
And it's like a, it's not a future there, it's like a...
It's an now.
It's just a, you are living.
It's a live. Right, like, it's positional. And as John says, as He is in the world, so are we, because we are one. Now you leave that, you get turned aside by these myths. That's what this verse is about. Okay, let's go back to Ephesians.
I was thinking of that other scripture, and when we see Him, we'll see, we'll be like Him, because we'll see
Him as He is.
And we're seeing Him as He is because He's operating through us, and we are seeing Him.
We're going to Ephesians, you said?
Ephesians, that's where we were a minute ago.
Four.
Yeah. Well, verse 10, verse 10. Until we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It's nothing about you in there. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That's their function, and that's your mind's function, is to try to deceive you.
Yeah.
And at the goal, your mind's function is to always keep you alone. And that loneliness is the horror. But in Him, you can never be alone. Now, Christianity is unique in another way, in that you cannot be perfected alone. That's a huge deal, because it's our Father.
There, yeah, we have life because of others, not because of ourselves.
All right, watch. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, by which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working, in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This is huge. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk, conduct your life, not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. That's all your mind can produce, is emptiness and fruitlessness. Air, chasing wind. All the if-onlys are just because you haven't taken it to the end. Walking, that not that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, because why? If you do, then you have been turned away from the truth by a fable.
And fables itch your ears.
Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Why would you go back to choose some idiotic thing that your mind or emotions say when there's no question that it's simply blindness? I mean, if it isn't, show me. Yeah, I used to think, man, if I could just go to Paris, if I could just go to Tokyo, if I could just go to London, if I just go to all that. Well, I went to all those places, and it's crap, just like every other place, because I'm there. What?
I was just going to say, I'm glad I wasn't there when you were there.
Because I would be with you.
Because it would turn into crap. Paris was crap when I went there first time. Some guy dropped his pants in the subway and mooned us. Just French people.
Yeah, the problem with Paris is the French people.
Besides us being there.
All right. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But you have not so learned in Christ. If so be that you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So this whole idea of being turned aside from the truth onto fables is not some history thing. It's not something that others do. It's something that we do every friggin' day. Oh, but those fables are so nice. Oh God, Mount Olympus. Okay, let's go to 1 Timothy. chapter 1. Verse 3. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, wherein I went into Macedonia, that you might charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So do. More fables. Now to verse chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. I mean 1 Timothy.
Where are you going now?
Chapter 4 of the same book, 1 Timothy. I'm just starting verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Again, more fables. Now, old wives, remember, it's little women, they said earlier. That's not applying, and old wives here doesn't mean women or old wives. It's an idiom for that position. Anybody that does the fables is like a silly woman or an old wife. Okay? All right, now let's go to Titus. Right after 2 Timothy. For those Bible scholars. Chapter 1. Verse 8. Be a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn, same word here, ectrepo, from the truth. Unto the pure, all things are pure. Now one more, 2 Peter.
You know, it's like what we've been trying to do the last couple of days is identify the fables. It's one thing, it says don't give heed to fables, Jewish fables. What are the Jewish?
The perfection of the flesh.
The circumcision. You've got to do this.
Remember that word circumcision. Mm-hmm. It's a common word in the Greek language. It doesn't mean only cutting off the head of your doo-doo.
The stuff around your doo-doo.
But it means stopping doing something. Changing you. All right, Ephesians. No. 1 Peter. What did I say? 2 Peter. I think I must be thinking about tomorrow morning. Colonoscopy.
Second Peter.
Now this is Peter's last book before he dies. So, in verse 14, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Now, remember the word decease there is after my exodus. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when he made known unto you the power and the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. So no more fables. No more. I mean, have you ever, these people give their testimony, 90% of it is a lie. You know, oh, this when I was a drug addict and God, blah, blah, blah. And I used to be really bad, now I'm good. I used to be really bad, now I'm worse. Because I'm dead. No more fables. All right, back to 2 Timothy. For the time will, verse 3, chapter 4. For the time will come when they will, and time is here, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers to satisfy their itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Amen? So the biggie is seeing how many of the value systems we have are just outright fables, myths, fiction, lies. And how many of them still control you. Amen? Amen. Any other thoughts from anyone? Okay, John? Amen?
Amen. Amen and amen.
All righty. That used to make Harry furious when anybody said amen and amen.
Amen.
And amen. Take it, big guy.